Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Pinheiro, joined once again by my good buddy, Kevin Lucco. And this week, Kevin and I are honored to welcome the broadcasting pair for the Lake Country Dockhounds this season, Dominic Stern and Sam Reeves. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us here tonight.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you both.
Well, let's start with Dominic. So, Dominic, tell us a little bit about your career here, how you got involved in broadcasting.
So I've wanted to broadcast really from a young age. I grew up a Padres fan, so while the performance on the field wasn't always great, we've always had tremendous broadcasters. Matt Bashkirjian now obviously does a lot of stuff with ESPN and MLB Network. After him, it was Dick Enberg, who is one of the most legendary American sports broadcasters of all time. And then now it's Don Orsillo, who is widely regarded as one of the best Major League Baseball broadcasters. So listening to them, when I turn on the Padres games every night, I'm from San Diego. That's what really garnered my interest once I kind of realized that I was never going to have a career playing baseball professionally, as a lot of us players slowly realize as we start to, you know, get into our middle ages there in our teenage years. So, you know, I just trying to find opportunities to broadcast games, and I attend the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communications at Arizona State University, which is one of the premier journalism schools here in America. And there I've been able to broadcast baseball, softball, football, basketball, lacrosse, water polo, just about any sport that ASU has Division I. I've found a way to broadcast for it, whether it be with our student radio station or on a Pac-12 network. I found a way, and just trying to get better every single time I put the headset on. It's been a lot of fun, slowly, you know, starting to find my voice as a broadcaster. It's been a lot of fun, and I can't wait to really get it started professionally with the Dockhounds. 2 weeks from tomorrow is my first game.
So I got to ask you, I don't know if you knew this or not, but Mike Meyer, the manager of Sioux Falls, went to Arizona. So instantly you want to see Lake Country really stomp out Sioux Falls this year, I would gather?
Oh, absolutely.
So Sam, tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, you know, Dom and I kind of have similar backgrounds, both about the same age. I'm graduating this weekend from Northwest Missouri State University. Up in Maryville, Missouri, with a degree in sports media and a minor in broadcasting. Born and raised in Kansas City, I've been a diehard Royals fan for as long as I can remember, and also similarly to Dom, the product on the field in Kansas City, at least on the Kauffman Stadium side of the parking lot, has not always been the best. But, you know, I've always been intrigued by the broadcasting side of the game, both baseball and sports in general. So I've really made an effort over the past probably decade or so to pay a lot of attention to the broadcasting side when watching a game on TV instead of just the game itself that you may be watching. And as a result, I've kind of developed a love for broadcasting just as much as my love for baseball. And I've been fortunate enough to broadcast Division II NCAA tournament games on the basketball side, high-quality football in Division II, and baseball as well. Baseball is definitely my passion in terms of sports, so I've always kind of had a dream to be a broadcaster in the majors one day, and Lake Country is a fantastic first step in that direction.
Hey, have either of you done summer internships with baseball teams, getting out and doing some games, like getting on the road, or is this going to be your guys' first stab at it?
Last summer, I was a broadcaster for the Collegiate League of the Palm Beaches down in South Florida, played games in Jupiter, Palm Beach, some other cities down there. So this isn't my first time doing, you know, baseball games practically every day. That would be unprecedented to be able to jump straight into the professional ranks. But that was mostly collegiate players playing at the D3 level, some at the JUCO level, and a couple of them D2 and D1. So super excited that I get to broadcast professional players. These players are going out there. They're getting paid to showcase their skills as they either try to prove to organizations that they deserve to be playing in their affiliates, or for mostly guys trying to get their way back into affiliate ball. There's going to be a lot on the line every single night, and It's going to be a different taste. Also, night baseball as opposed to the day baseball we were playing in Florida before the humidity really started to soak you up.
What about you, Sam? Is this your first time calling baseball out on the road?
It is not. Yeah, kind of like what Dom was saying. It's, you know, to do this professionally, you kind of have to have some sort of a background. And for me, also summer collegiate baseball, I was part of the Ohio Valley League, teams in Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, working for the Franklin Dewlers, who played in Bowling Green, Kentucky last summer. And we actually did have a bunch of night games just because the humidity wasn't as crazy as it was down in Florida for you, Dom. But, yeah, no, that was a pretty high-quality league, college-age players, Division I, Division II, D3, a little bit of JUCO as well. So did that for 45 games or so last summer.
Any interesting stories from the road, like bus breakdowns or any weird instances?
I popped my tire last summer. That was the first week I was there. So that was fun having to deal with an auto shop for like the first time. But no bus stories.
For us, it was nothing too crazy. Not at least bus related. Even on the road, it was pretty smooth sailing. I think, you know, we did have the opportunity a couple of times to play where they filmed, and this doesn't necessarily answer your question, but it kind of popped into my head. In the Ohio Valley League, the Du Bois County Bombers actually play where they filmed a league of their own, or excuse me, a Field of Dreams. No, a league of their own, right the first time. Because Field of Dreams is in Iowa, of course. But yeah, Field of Dreams, so that was really cool to get the broadcast from that facility a couple of times last summer, for sure.
You're going to have those long bus trips this time. You guys are going to have some trips down there to Cleveland, Texas, head to Winnipeg. Are both of you going to be traveling with the team this season, or is that primarily going to be you, Dominic?
Well, I know Sam had discussed with the team of traveling a little bit. I'll be broadcasting all 50 games on the road, so I'm really looking forward to it because I've only been to the Midwest once, and it was just Chicago for 3 days, so never been to Wisconsin. Never been to Nebraska, Kansas, Indiana, South Dakota, North Dakota, even Canada. So I've been to Texas, of course, but it's going to be all new for me, and I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be some long bus rides for sure, but, I mean, it's going to be good stories I could tell, both when I'm done broadcasting and hopefully maybe some good, clean stories about, you know, games that they're playing on the bus.
Has the team given you any idea at this point, Sam, about what your availability is going to be to travel, or do you see this maybe as you're going to be more involved in the team at home and then doing things while the team is out on the road?
Yeah, sure. I will be definitely more involved at home, for sure. That is kind of my main responsibility. It's Dom's show, and I'm kind of the number two guy. And the good thing about the relationship, and well, Dom and I don't know each other extremely well quite yet, but it seems like from the texting and a little bit of conversations that we've had, I think we're going to have a pretty good broadcast combo throughout the season. So kind of bouncing ideas off of him while the team is on the road and then getting back actually in the broadcast booth at home. And while the team is on the road, I think I may travel. Of course, when we play the Milkmen in Milwaukee, that's about 35 minutes away or so. So I'm just going to take that into my own responsibility and go over there for those games. I have some family in Chicago, so may go down there when we play the Dogs. And then, of course, being born and raised in Kansas City, when we play the Monarchs at the end of the year, I will definitely be down in Kansas City as well. But it travels mainly Dom's gig this season.
Now, I'm interested for the two of you. In American Association Baseball, we don't really have two-man booths very often. It began in Cleburne. Brad Allred down there had Michael Dixon, the Lincoln broadcaster, with him for a couple of years, actually, and then had Denny Garrett, who came from Wichita, with him for a while. How do you build that chemistry for the two of you so that, you know, we talk about that for teams all the time, but how do broadcasters build that kind of chemistry so that they're really able to communicate with each other well, do you think?
Well, there's going to be growing pains. I mean, I don't expect us when we have the first home game after the road trip, because I'll be missing the first series, that's going to be all Sam. But when the team returns back to Oconomowoc on May 23rd and they're taking on Gary, you know, it's going to be the first time that Sam and I are broadcasting together. So it's not going to be perfect, but, you know, there's going to be a lot of, you know, eyes looking at each other like, all right, you know, hey, I need to get this out. Like, and then you can go in and talk about it. We're not exactly sure because we've discussed, you know, there's going to be games where Sam's going to do some play-by-play because, I mean, at the end of the day, he's a play-by-play broadcaster. He's not a color analyst. He didn't play this game professionally. I mean, so he's going to get to do some play-by-play, and I'll do color for him. And there's going to be some games where he does all the play-by-play. I assume that we're going to work it out, and we're going to make sure that we're doing the best job of delivering the information of the game to the listeners for the Dawghounds.
Now, an interesting dynamic to this season for the league itself is the pitch clock. And we've talked to a couple of broadcasters already who have talked about how you have to adjust the style of your gaming calling because you don't get as much time to talk about things, you know, between pitches now. Have you had any history so far with pitch clocks? And what are your thoughts about how that might affect your broadcast?
That's an interesting question. I think, you know, personally, I haven't had a lot of experience broadcasting with a pitch clock, and that's definitely something that I had thought of and that I've heard a lot of broadcasters talk about is it's going to be different. There's no question about it. With a pitch clock, broadcasts are going to have to change. We've seen that. They have changed throughout all levels of baseball. And like Dom said, about even with the two of us as broadcasters together, there's going to be growing pains with the pitch clock too. But, you know, I think with everything you can adapt and things will be just fine, you know, a few games in once we kind of get used to the new flow of the game. But it'll definitely be different, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing either.
Yeah, I don't have like too much experience with it, but they have the pitch clock at the Division I level here at Arizona State. And the games that I do are mostly the radio games here at our student radio station. And there's a difference, but for TV, when I did the one game I did on a Pac-12 network for baseball this season, I didn't really find it to be that big of a struggle because you don't want to just, like, absolutely pound the viewer with all these words. They're tuning in to watch the game and not to listen to us, and we're just trying to provide the context for it. So for my thinking is just it's going to be less dead air, which is not a bad thing at all. I think it could actually, like, help some broadcasts, especially, like, you know, there are times where sometimes there's not something that you need to say, and you don't have to, like, try and feel like, oh, man, I haven't said a whole lot this inning. Like, let me try and fit something in that doesn't make any sense. Like, I think that the thoughts need to be sped up a little bit, but it's not going to kill the broadcast, like some broadcasters are saying. It's an adjustment for sure, but I think it's a healthy adjustment.
I'm curious, Lake Country just in its second season, Sam did a great job for them last year as their broadcaster, but was kind of a young guy, just, you know, really trying to get his feet wet in the American Association as well. I'm curious how the two of you try to make this broadcast your own, how you acclimate yourself to the Lake Country fans and really try to make yourself part of that community.
Well, I mean, you got to, you know, make an effort to do that. You know, talk to people before the games. And the broadcast may start, you know, 20 minutes before the game starts, but you need to be there talking to the fans, you know, hey, what do you think of this? Like, asking them questions, being out in the real world and, like, you know, talking to people, seeing how they indulge in the fans, because we're doing this for the fans. Obviously, you know, we're broadcasting because this is what we love to do, but we love the broadcasting aspect of this because we're fans as well, and we've tuned in to broadcasts as well. So, you know, it's going to take an effort to go out there and try and build a relationship. It's not just going to be something that happens, and it's going to be something that over the course of the season, we're going to hopefully get better at that.
I think to echo what Dom just said, too, the organization as a whole has done, at least with my experience, done a really good job of making sure that the team is community oriented and the organization as a whole is community oriented. And I think that can kind of trickle down to us as broadcasters too, because like Dom mentioned, it's about preparation. It's about putting in the effort before you go and call an actual game. And if you're willing to put in the effort and be a part of the community and be a part of the organization and the growth in the community, I think, you know, the broadcast as a whole is a lot better because you have those stories, you have those relationships you can kind of share over the air. And I think from a fan perspective, it's a lot more entertaining to listen to those kinds of broadcasts as well.
Kevin and I had the pleasure of talking to Matt Gaisel, the new media personality for the league a couple weeks ago. And he was telling us when he first said, hey, I'm going to be working for the American Association, that his family and a lot of friends that he knew were like, for what? So I'm curious, and you said you were working for the Lake Country Dockhounds. Did you have some of your family that was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, none of my family, and especially because I'm from the West Coast, so, like, most of the independent ball teams, I had no idea, like, some of these teams existed. And so when I was looking for opportunities over winter break this past break, I had to look on Baseball Reference and say, all right, like, I need to go find some of these teams and, you know, enlighten myself, educate myself on, you know, this world of baseball that is unaffiliated independent league baseball. And I found the Lake Country Dockhounds. I know that they love baseball up in Wisconsin. From everything that I've heard and everything that I see when I watch Brewers games, they always have good crowds and they're always really loud. So it was a team that I wanted to work for, and it's a new team. You know, it's an opportunity to help the new team, like, build its brand up and become a team like the Chicago Dogs. You know, the Kansas City Monarchs obviously have a different history of that, but they've created that brand for themselves as an independent league team, and that Sam and I are hoping that we can help them out in doing that, because Lake Country Dockhounds, I talked about it with Tom Kelenic, one of the owners on the team, in our conference call. It's on the Lake Country Dockhounds YouTube page. He talks about how he's like, we got one of the best facilities and one of the nicest fields because it's brand new and the community's really invested in it. And now all of a sudden the people up in Wisconsin and in Lake Country, they want to come out to the games because it's something new for them. So it's totally new for me. I think it's new for a lot of people in Wisconsin. I had no idea this league existed, and that's not a bad thing. And now it's going to be part of my job over the next several months to help grow that brand and make sure that everyone knows what this league is and what it's all about.
Yeah, for me...
Now, have you guys... Okay, go on. My questions can wait here.
Gotcha. Sorry.
Go ahead, Sam.
For me, it's just a little bit different. You know, growing up, being born and raised in Kansas City, I've always been familiar with the Monarchs. Used to be the T-Bones. They've always had a great fan base, a great history. So I've always been kind of familiar with the American Association as a league. So kind of like when I was looking for opportunities as well, this was one of the first leagues I looked into just because of kind of the timeline of when the season actually is. And I've always been kind of a fan of what the American Association has done. And now that it's actually a partner league with Major League Baseball, it's even more intriguing. The Dockhounds themselves, like Dom said, a pretty new team for sure. So, you know, my family and friends are not familiar with the Dockhounds specifically. But, you know, it all goes back to community. And if the community is involved and invested, and we are involved and invested as broadcasters, we can really make a difference on the air as well.
Yeah, what I was going to ask, have you guys worked on the pronunciation for Oconomowoc? Because I have to say, last year when the Lake Country joined the league, there were some broadcasters that were really stumbling over it quite a bit. So have you guys boned up on the pronunciation for Oconomowoc?
That's a fantastic question, and I'm going to take this one first because I have kind of a funny story. Before I had my first interview with the organization, I was talking with my family and with my parents, and we were debating, how do you say Oconomowoc? You know, where do we go with this? What do we think the best bet is? And I can't exactly remember what I decided to go with in the interview when I first talked with Lauren, our fan engagement manager. I got it brutally wrong. I will be 100% honest. I got it wrong. But my first question to her was, okay, before we even actually started the legitimate interview, was, Lauren, how do you say this correctly? And from that moment on, I knew it was Oconomowoc. But, yeah, no, it's a tough one for people, for sure.
It was one of the questions that I asked Lauren during my interview because I saw the town and I said, all right, that sounds like a town from Wisconsin, so that's perfect. It's on brand. And, you know, I interviewed for the position and then ultimately got it, and I've been able to practice saying it just by telling people where I'm going to be, because I first off start by telling them that I'll be doing professional baseball in Wisconsin. And then they ask me where, and I say, Oconomowoc. And they're like, huh? And I say, Oconomowoc. And they're like, how do you spell that? And then I immediately rip it off because every other letter is an O in Oconomowoc. So if any of the other broadcasters are listening to this, I mean, they know they can reach out to us and ask us. They call it Ocon for short. That's what Lauren referred to it as when we were first discussing Oconomowoc. So I haven't had any problems with it, but I can see how other broadcasters have struggled with it.
It's a tricky area because I think Pewaukee is right nearby, and then you got Waukesha nearby. So it's a pronunciation person's delight just in that whole general area. But you'll get to know the region.
Yeah, totally. I can't wait to get up to Wisconsin.
I know Dom had said he had not been to Wisconsin yet. Have you got to check out the state at all at any time in your life, Sam?
No, I haven't. I've been up to Chicago, and I've traveled a fair amount, East Coast, West Coast, Chicago as well, but never actually to Wisconsin. So this is kind of going to be a little bit new for me as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the team this season. Last season had a very difficult time. It was really that back end of the bullpen that struggled for this club and kind of fell short there for him. So what are your thoughts about what you've seen on the roster and what you do know about the team at this point?
Well, just from talking with Jim Bennett, the manager, and Tom Kelenic, the owner and the roster constructor, they were very point blank about the fact that the bullpen is kind of what held the team back. They were, you know, I don't want to say tops in the league because that'd be wrong, but they were at the bottom of the league in terms of runs allowed and the way that you don't want to be. But they were a solid team when it came to hitting wise. They went pound for pound with every other team offensively. So that's what they went to work on in the offseason, was going after and attacking pitchers. They were able to bring back a couple of arms, Alex McRae and Evan Kurzynski in the rotation, and then Nick Harold and Carlos Diaz are the two returners that will probably be in the bullpen. We'll see if Harold also starts a little bit, but outside of that, they went out and they brought in multiple guys who have been at or almost got to the major league level. You know, I got to talk to Connor Fisk a couple weeks ago. He was right there, then unfortunately tore his UCL and now has to kind of restart his career. Mike Charron, I haven't talked to him, so I got to make sure I get that name correctly. Major league pitcher formerly, same with Ryan Hartman. So there's going to be better arms coming out of the bullpen. J.J. Santa Cruz from the AAA level as well. So it's going to be better for them in the bullpen this year. And, you know, sometimes it just takes patching up the weakness to make the rest of your team thrive. I read one of the articles that you guys published last week and talking about how they lost 13 games in a 100-game season in which they led after seven innings. I mean, that is not a mark that you can expect to carry over into the next season when you make improvements at the bullpen. So it's going to be a smoother going sailing ship for the Dockhounds out in the bullpen. And, all you know, the goal isn't exactly to go from being one of the worst bullpens in the league to being one of the best. If you can just elevate that up to being average or above league average, then all of a sudden you're going to have a solid team out there that hopefully can make the playoffs for the first time in franchise history.
What are your thoughts, Sam?
Yeah, I think just to kind of echo what Dom said, it's interesting because when you have somebody who has as much pitching experience as the manager for the Dockhounds, Jim Bennett, does, as a former pitcher himself and as the pitching coach for Team Australia as well, you know, this is a good guy to fix the problem, you could say. And Tom Koenig, as the one of the owners and, of course, the person who mainly constructed this roster, told Dom in his interview, you know, they're not going to shy away from the issue. And the main issue was, of course, the back end of the bullpen. You have the pieces, as we mentioned, in Alex McRae and Evan Krasinski, who have significant affiliated experience, and McRae in the major leagues as well. You know, so you keep those two guys in the rotation, from last season, kind of build off that, and then you kind of build off the weakness. And I think by making sure that that was a point of emphasis in the offseason by this entire organization, and with the, you know, with the added bonus of having somebody like a Jim Bennett who has a really, you know, good pitching background, I think the only thing that you can kind of expect here in Lake Country, at least on that side of the diamond, is for it to kind of get better in the back end of the bullpen. And like Dom said, if you can patch up the biggest weakness, that could make a big difference for the entire team as well.
I'm curious on the both of you. You came with into the league coming with a minimal knowledge of independent baseball, maybe not even really knowing much about independent baseball before you apply for the job. So as you're looking across at rosters and maybe even have looked at some of the history of the American Association and even other partner leagues out there, what has been your overall thoughts about what you're seeing about the league at this point? Well, so we'll start with Dom.
Well, we've also been involved with meetings throughout the league, and it's a league that really wants itself to build its brand, and they're trying to go national with its broadcast. Well, they're not trying to. They're going to go national with broadcast this season. So I think that's awesome because there's really no other way to get, you know, in the faces of baseball fans other than, you know, putting the games on televisions and doing that. So it's been really cool to follow that along as well. You know, obviously having the Monarchs and the Dogs are two teams that are, you know, have some relevance nationally. The Monarchs, of course, because they are formerly a Negro League team. So that is, of course, super relevant there. But you know, it's been cool because each team has a different approach to it because they're from a different state. Like, there's the only state that has there's only two states that have multiple teams in them. It's Wisconsin and Illinois, and Indiana as well. So I guess that's three. But you talk about these teams, like, they're able to get selective fan bases, and some of these other teams have affiliated history, so they have more of a backbone as well. Each team's a fully different story, and I think that's what's really awesome about, you know, really all of minor league baseball, but especially in the independent leagues, because they don't have that major league team to, you know, carry some of its weight.
To me, there were two things that jumped off the page. For me personally, being a little bit familiar with the association as a league just from growing up in Kansas City, you know, being a part of it as somebody that now works for our team in the league, being involved in those league conference calls and league meetings, it really has become apparent to me, like Dom said, how much the team really in the league, really wants to grow and get in front of eyeballs, and that can only be a good thing for the league as a whole. But the two things that kind of jumped off the page to me as I was really digging deep into the league after I got my position is the fact that, number one, because of the fact that there were a lot of minor league teams that were cut over the past few years, the quality of players that you see in a league like the American Association is actually extremely high. If you think of it, and all you really know is Major League Baseball and maybe some AAA and AA teams, you would think of a league like the American Association and say, okay, this is not very high quality baseball. And that's definitely not the case whatsoever. There are plenty of players that have had Major League experience and have not Major League experience, very high experience in the minor leagues. So the quality of baseball is fantastic. The second thing that jumped off the page to me, too, was just the markets that this league is involved in. You know, you look at it, you see, okay, Chicago has the Dogs as well, and Kane County is not far from there. You have Milwaukee with the Milkmen, and, you know, Lake Country where we are in Oconomowoc isn't far from Milwaukee either. And then you look at a team like the Kansas City Monarchs. That's a huge, you know, pretty huge market as well in the Midwest. So the fan bases are there, you know, that if they can kind of grow the game and market well in those specific cities, the league will continue to grow, and the league is, I think, from what I can tell, doing a fantastic job of attempting to grow as much as they possibly can, and the national TV deals, as Dom alluded to, will definitely help that too.
I don't know if you've had chances to talk to too many players at this point, but if you have, is there a story that really has kind of touched you at this point, or really you're thinking, man, I can't wait to talk about this particular guy on the air because of this?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't gotten the opportunity to talk to too many of the players, but the sense that I got from a lot of them is I was really interested to hear, like, what they're doing to prepare during the off season, because it's not like a typical off season where you could work with, you know, the major league coaches, even just the minor league coaches. Like, these guys are all on their own until they sign these contracts, and then they're reporting to Wisconsin starting next week, and then they get to work with the coaching staff for the Dogtown. So I was interested to hear what they've been doing. And a large sense of what I gathered was that they're helping other people get better at baseball. Connor Fisk Casey Dykstra, they talked about how they're giving lessons to younger guys. And I asked them, like, how does giving the lessons to these players that are in high school or even younger than that, how does that help you out? And they gave some really fascinating answers and talking about, like, how they see different stuff in what these kids are doing in their swings or in their deliveries, and they can go back and watch their film and dissect it in a sort of way that helps them become a better pitcher. So that was something that was really fascinating in talking to players.
And for me too, I haven't, you know, Dom has been doing all the interviews. I've been kind of stuck with wrapping up classes, but the schedules just haven't quite worked out. But one thing I'm intrigued to talk to a bunch of guys about next week when I get up there before opening day, especially for the guys that have had affiliated experience, which is a large majority of these players, is what are you trying to do to keep your mind right? You know, a lot of these guys should be saying, okay, I should be in AAA, AA right now, maybe even in the big leagues. You know, this is not affiliated baseball, even though it is an extremely high level of baseball. But, you know, so you could easily kind of have your mind go down the drain and become mentally unfocused. And most of these guys are, okay, I want to battle back and get back to the majors. A lot of those guys have that goal, and I'm kind of just intrigued to kind of learn, especially for those guys that were right on the doorstep, Connor Fisk, Alex McRae, Evan Krasinski, just to name a few. What do they have to do to kind of start over almost in some of their cases to get back there, and how can they remain mentally strong throughout the process is one thing I'm kind of intrigued about.
You know, last season, the Dockhounds came before they even, I mean, right after saying, hey, we're going to be a team in this league, came right after the other five teams in the East Division. I mean, they were out on social media mocking and making kind of comments. We loved it here. Kevin and I thought that was one of the best things we saw all of last season. Has ownership and management there kind of gave you the impression, hey, we want to continue that going forward? And are you two guys that like to jab at other teams like that?
I'm not. This is not my personality. But, like, I haven't really talked to any of our team here at the Dockhounds about, like, what they're planning to do on social media in terms of interacting with the other teams. When you win, awesome, go for it. But if you're going to do that, and then you lose, you got to expect it in return as well. So considering the fact that everyone in Lake Country is expecting a better team on the field that's going to win some more games and hopefully compete for a playoff spot, who knows? Maybe we'll continue to do that.
Personally, I'm more of a go-about-your-business-quietly kind of guy. I respect that. I think it's fun from an outsider's perspective to kind of witness or watch from afar. But like Dom said too, you got to win in order to kind of do that. And I'm more of a, okay, let's take care of our business, you know, quieter and more quietly and go from there. But again, if Lake Country does what the goal is and continues to improve and possibly can fight for a playoff spot, why not have a little bit of fun?
I like it. Well, I got to tell you, Kevin and I greatly appreciate the two of you joining us here tonight. And so your first-time guest, we got to tell you, so we allow our guests to give us a final thought before sending us out here tonight. So since there are two of you, we get two great final thoughts here tonight. So whichever one of you would like to go first, whatever you would like to talk about, the floor is yours.
Yeah, Kevin and Rob, thank you so much for having Sam and I. This has been really cool to talk about the team, and I just can't emphasize how ready and excited I am to get up to Wisconsin and the rest of the Midwest and just broadcast baseball. I hope that everyone hears the passion that I have
for the game when it's going on. If anyone has any complaints about whatever I'm saying or whatever I'm doing during the games, feel free, reach out, let me know. There's only one way to get better, and it's about hearing what you did wrong. So I look forward to hearing from you guys and getting to meet the rest of the broadcasters and all the players in the league.
Yeah, for me, I just want to start off by saying thank you both for having us on. It's been a great evening for sure, and it's been an honor to talk about the team and about the league. And like Dom said, you know, as broadcasters, especially as young broadcasters starting off our careers, we just want to get better. That's the goal. Every time we put on the headset is to get better at what we do. And the only way to do that, besides critiquing ourselves, is to get feedback from other people. So if there's anybody out there that is listening to a game that I'm doing, that Dom's doing, that we're doing together, no matter what the situation is, and you have a complaint, if you have a concern, if you have any feedback of any kind, feel free to reach out. We'd love to hear the feedback. That's the only way we can improve, and we want to do the best job we can for the fans, and for the players, and for their families, and for the community. And that's our ultimate goal. Do we want to have fun while doing it? Of course we do. We're baseball fans. But the ultimate goal as broadcasters in this position, which we're blessed to have in front of us, is to put the best product on the air and on, you know, on the air as we possibly can. So it's an honor to have the opportunity. And like I said, if anybody has any feedback they want to give us over the course of the summer, we will gladly take it.
Well, I just think you should know that Kevin and I have been doing this show for 7 years, and we set the bar so low that you guys are already going to start out way above us. So they'll love you anyway there. So Sam Reeves and Dom Stern, thanks for joining Kevin and I this week.
Thank you, guys.
No problem. Yeah, thanks for doing this, guys.
Well, Kevin, great to have on Sam and Dom here tonight, and looks like they're ready to take over that Lake Country job here this season.
Two more young Lions in our core of American Association broadcasters, and looking forward to hearing their work and wish them both the best of luck.
Absolutely. I think those guys are going to do very well this season. It sounds like they've got good voices to speak, really knowledgeable about the team. I'm impressed with their knowledge of the club out there already. It seems like sometimes we've had guys that have come in to broadcast for the first time in the league, and they've waited until they got to spring training and the season getting closer to getting underway before really checking into the team. But these guys are already on board. I'm really loving that. I think they're going to do a great job out there for sure. So,
yeah, it was pretty smart on their part to do that.
I think so, too. I got to say, one interesting little tidbit that they had there that I didn't realize was that their owner for Lake Country is heavily involved in the building of the club. I didn't realize that, Kevin, so I learned that here tonight.
It's not often you hear that in this league. I can't really remember any owners being too heavily involved with player transactions. I think there are some that keep track of them more than others, but never one that's ever really been hands-on with it before.
I know. I think that's pretty fascinating. So looking forward to kind of monitoring that as the season's going along. Well, Kevin, let's talk about moves from around the league out there, and there have been a lot of them as we're getting closer here to now spring training getting underway and teams starting to get out there on the field, so we're starting to see a lot of guys get signed, and it's been the releases and trades and final moves that we're seeing that have really been interesting to me. And let's begin with Sioux City, Kevin, because we saw that Nivaldo Rodriguez and Kevin Escorcia headed south of the border, and now for Sioux City at this point, six of their guys are already headed somewhere else. With Thomas McElrath, who was leading the team last season in saves, was second in the league overall, I believe, maybe third. Adema Refaella also headed to Mexico. Then Max Coons and Danny Amaral headed to affiliate ball. Man, that's six of the probably the very best players on this team are headed some other direction. Steve Montgomery's got his work cut out for him.
At this point, he's got to be wondering, why me?
Well, I guess it's a testament to the fact that he knows to get quality players out there. But they got him working this season for sure. And, you know, no, I don't mean to make it sound like he hasn't had guys signed in the past. It just hasn't been six before the season even got underway.
So that's pretty crazy. But you know, he's working on building that pitching staff. A lot more of his everyday lineup is in place than what we're used to, Kevin. So at least it looks like he's got nine guys ready to go on the field for opening day.
Well, that's half the battle right there, I guess. You don't want to have to be as short a position player. Kind of. Not a good look.
No, it's not. So continuing on around there, let's start with the Gary South Shore Railcast. So they released Onus Farfan, Adam Heidenfelder, who was really an outstanding right-hander for them. I'm not sure exactly what led to that release. So we'll have to find out more about that later on. And left-hander pitcher Joel Huertas, also released by the club. They do sign left-handed pitcher Odie Nunez. We knew last week after talking to Trevor Lubking, that he was going to go on the inactive list while he's still working out that arm. So that officially happened this week. They also signed right-handed pitcher Joan Valdez to the club here. And right now, Gary South Shore at 29 guys heading in here to spring training, Kevin. Very deep pitching staff. Four of these guys are going to be cut somewhere along here, but four catchers. Let's talk a little bit about that. I know you were talking about last week that some guys can play other positions, but they got to work out Sam Abbott and try to fit him somewhere too. So how many of those four do you think logically wind up staying with the club, do you think?
It could be a situation where that's going to be an internal battle where Lamar Rogers is only going to keep like two of the three, but you know, it's good to have that kind of depth in your training camp because it's just going to push everybody to battle harder for their positions. And in the end, you know that you're going to more than likely have the right guys.
Yeah, I like that too from that standpoint, Kevin, because I think sometimes we see the same guys come in on clubs, which is great. You like that continuity. But maybe a person enters believing, hey, I know I'm going to be the first baseman this year. I know I'm going to be the third baseman. So, you know, I just got to go and show up and get myself into shape and I'll be ready to go. But this club, you got to believe maybe two guys feel like they are locked into their position in that everyday lineup at most. And this is going to be where Lamar Rogers can say, hey, you got to earn your spot. And if you don't come in here and go, you know, balls to the wall from the very start, you're not going to be playing for me. I think that really does develop a good chemistry and a good competition for this club.
As we often see in these sort of situations, too, where if all three of them have pretty decent training camps, so then becomes a numbers thing, more than likely the player that's released is going to be getting phone calls from other teams and will more than likely wind up on a team to start opening day anyways.
Absolutely. You know, we forgot to mention a couple weeks ago that the Railcats did fill out the rest of their coaching staff as well. So they signed hitting coach Ramon Ortiz and pitching coach Kent Willis. So I did want to mention that out there. So outstanding pickups there by Lamar Rogers for his staff as well. Continuing on with our moves from around the American Association, some big stuff going on there with Fargo this week, Kevin, as Kane County officially signed catcher BJ Lopez, and then he was traded to Fargo, and they signed Dylan Thomas, a guy that we thought was just absolutely spectacular for the Texas AirHogs in 2019. He made it to the major leagues the last couple of seasons. Man, that Fargo club really now.
A couple of huge gets for the Red Hawks with Dylan Thomas and BJ Lopez. I guess it's one of those the rich get richer sort of things, but you got to think that in that lineup or with the way that rosters, you're going to have some pretty good players that are going to be battling to even get any playing time. And just think of that batting order, the depth in that batting order that they got, it's just going to be incredible to see how it plays out.
And I think it's a testament to Jeff Bittiger, you know, man, that he's able to work out to get all of those guys under contract and happy, you know, with wherever they're at this point. So, but, you know, Dylan Thomas, you got to believe, could be asking a lot of money from a club. Here's a vet, major league guy, probably demanding the maximum if he really wanted it, but willing to play for the Redhawks this season, probably at a reduced salary of what he would earn someplace else. I just think that's a testament to the great job that Jeff has done in getting guys to come here and buy in on the Red Hawks' way of doing things. That's just, man, this team is just unreal. I really thought we had a lot of parity, the right word, a couple weeks ago, but the Red Hawks definitely put themselves head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah, the Red Hawks might be making a parody of the rest of the league.
Yes, they might. You are right about that. So, not much else to do in Fargo right now in terms of signing guys and for spring training. They have 25 guys on the roster. That could very well be the 25 guys that make the team anyway. So, that's perfectly fine. The team that battled Fargo for the championship last season, the Milwaukee Milkmen, signed right-handed pitcher Hansel Rodriguez and trade infielder Jeremiah Birch to Florence. Probably looking to be closer to home. A good point Kevin usually makes with me there. So Milwaukee still looks like they're going to be a pretty solid team, Kevin. If I was placing odds right now, I think Milwaukee looks like the team to beat in the East.
It could be. They got the pedigree of winning there, making playoff appearances the last two seasons, and Anthony Barone has went out and got good players to come in to join the core guys that he had left over from last year. So at this point, you have to consider them one of the favorites in the East.
Chicago Dogs signed a number of pitchers to the staff this week, starting with left-handed pitcher Brian Worzek. They also add left-handed pitcher Dalton Sawyer to the club. This is a very deep pitching staff right now, Kevin. A lot of interesting stories I wrote about a few days ago. It's going to be a fairly brand-new rotation. Jake Dahlberg comes back to rejoin the rotation. We're likely going to see Jonathan Tripp getting one of those five spots. But three spots open. The back end of the bullpen is going to be solid. You got to see this group last year with Joe Cavaliero and Brian Schlitter. Both have unbelievable arms. So I don't mean to be patting Milwaukee out too much and thinking that they're the team to beat, because Chicago looks like they're going to have an extremely formidable pitching staff.
And I think you need to have really good pitching if you're going to win in the ballpark that they play into, as Impact Field, in my opinion, is a notorious hitter's ballpark. So it's good to be able to trot out a lot of arms if needed if your starter struggles. And, like I said, that ballpark, it can make a starting pitcher pretty humble. So it's good to have plenty of depth and cover up if a starter does have a rough night.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, Kevin, because in some ballparks, like if you're pitching in Sioux City, there are a few nights a season where you're going to have the wind blowing out, and so you don't want to be giving up fly balls or anything there. But you presumably want to be a kind of a ground ball guy in a place like Sioux City. But if you're not striking guys out in Chicago, you're going to have some pretty miserable nights, I would think, in that ballpark. And that he's gone out there and got some flamethrowers. There's some guys on that staff that he signed that have really battled with walks, but they still strike a lot of guys out. And I think maybe that they're looking at, hey, we'll give up a runner, a guy on base, one or two guys on base in an inning, as long as we know we're going to get strikeouts out of it.
Yeah.
Let's jump to. I'm sorry, Kevin. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, let's jump to Winnipeg out there.
I was just going to have a long, entertaining, rambling thought, so let's go on.
Well, we need that. We need that. We need something better than what I'm throwing out here.
Well,
Winnipeg signs.
Half the time it's going to be a thought that I'm going to be thinking, making up as I go along. So, I mean, come on. We've been doing this for 7 years. I do have a few tricks.
And it's the reason why we have been doing it 7 years. People still love it, so we're liking that out there. Winnipeg signs outfielder Demias Himmerson, I'm believing is the way that that's said. So I hope that's right. Well, I'm going to learn as the season's going along. So right-handed pitcher Josh Vincent, former Gary South Shore Railcat, joining the Gold Eyes this season. They also signed left-handed pitcher Cam Opp and right-handed pitcher Max Steffens. Interesting, Raul Navarro released by the club. The guy has just been fantastic. It's short for the Gold Eyes the last couple of seasons. I'm assuming maybe retiring, maybe battling a little bit of an injury right at this point, but that's a big loss at the top of that order for the Gold Eyes.
Yeah, Navarro was everything to that Gold Eyes team last year, and I'm sure he would have been a pretty big spark plug this year also.
I think had a 31 game hitting streak last season, if I remember. Was like 4 or 5 away from the American Association record. So just gets on base, you know. Always gets hit. That's how you're looking at out there. The Kansas City Monarchs trade hit right-handed pitcher Ryan Castellani to Gastonia. They also, there was one other move I thought I saw in here. Yeah, they do. And Yan Hernandez signed with Monterey. John, I should say. My apologies. Another guy heading south of the border to Mexico, and Hernandez, boy, this is going to be a brand new Monarchs team this season, Kevin.
I can remember being a Minnesota Twins fan, and I remember one of their seasons when they had a bunch of young players. The marketing slogan was, get to know them. Well, you might have to have that in Kansas City after a couple of seasons where it was relatively the same team. It looks like it's going to be a different cast of characters with the Monarchs this season.
Boy, you're not kidding about that. Sioux Falls releases infielder Trey Mikulczewski. Mikulczewski, I think it's correct.
Mihashevsky.
Is that what it is? Man, I was way off.
Yes. I got to hear that a lot last year. Mihashevsky.
Man, I'm sorry, Trey. I apologize out there. Lincoln releases infielder Ryan Long, who's didn't have huge numbers for the club, but a very consistent hitter for them. So that's a bit of a loss for them. Infielder Jason Rogers also placed on the inactive list for Lincoln. And Cleburne signs right-handed pitcher Casey Kalich, I believe is the way that says is said. And then our good buddy George Stamos out there at King County re-signs outfielder Cornelius Randolph and outfielder Armand Upshaw joins the club. So King County up to officially out on the American Association side, 13 players right now as they enter into spring training. So I think this roster is about to get filled up pretty quick here. But Kevin, we are getting underway. Baseball's up just, what are we talking about? 10 days away from opening day of the season. So, man, getting close.
I can't wait. You know, for you and I, as much as we do with hockey in the off season, it takes up our time. But you know, that's all pretty much just wrapped up. And you know, it's nice. It just flows really nicely right into American Association baseball season. And yeah, 10 days away. I mean, we're going to be probably doing what? Maybe 2 more shows where it's going to be per se postseason variety before you and I get to actually get talking about games and players of the week and rumors and innuendo and interviewing guys, and it's going to be summer again.
Absolutely. It's amazing that how quickly this has come. And I know we say that every year, but we were so in tune with hockey for a little while that I feel like baseball kind of snuck up on me now. So I'm pretty excited about where we're at here at this point. So it's going to be a great season, Kevin. And Fargo clearly has made themselves look to be very tough this season, but we've seen crazier things. So you just never know how things might work out here. So talking about stuff going on.
Just like that, so 100 games will fly right by, and then we'll be left wondering where the season went.
Yes, we will. That is very true. A few players out there in the Frontier League got signed. They were former American Association guys. John Vargas, a former Winnipeg Gold Eye guy, signed by Evansville this week. Looking down here, I think it was one other guy that leapt out at me, but maybe I am mistaken. The interesting thing that they had their draft last week. They have an open tryout for players to come out. It was last week, Monday. I just drew a very large group of players out there, and then they do a draft afterwards, so every team gets a chance to sign some guys that they saw perform out there, and the Frontier League went out and posted guys that they found for there. And we do want to say that our good buddy out there, Tom Bates with the Washington Wild, signed right-handed pitcher Tim Sabo. I don't know if that's related to the Sabo that played with the Reds or not, and then right-handed pitcher Joseph Brennan. So congratulations to both those guys making the club out there, and
Tom's usually pretty on tune with what's going on out there, so that should be a pretty good club again this season, Kevin.
I remember the days of the Northern League. They used to run an annual camp in Florida. It would be usually around March or April, and teams would draft guys out of that, but I don't see that with the American Association. I'm sure teams maybe have their own localized tryouts, but there's no real league wide tryout camp at all.
No. I remember George used to have those with the St. Paul Saints every year, and they had a guy from one of the local stations that even came out and tried out one year just to sort of do a story and to see if he could actually make it, which, of course, he didn't. But it was interesting to watch, and I went out there and watched and got to interview some of the guys and get to know them a little bit who were trying out. And you know, if I remember correctly, George always had, like, one guy who did pretty well, and he told them, hey, look, I don't need you right at the moment, but, you know, I'm going to have your phone number, and I'm going to contact you if I need you. And there was sometimes he had to use a guy like that. So, I don't know if teams are still doing those tryouts, but if they are, it winds up sometimes that a guy gets a shot just because he came out and gave it a try with the team before the season began.
Well, there's such a strong amateur baseball system in Minnesota where guys that go to these trial camps that may have impressed, but they didn't have a roster spot for it. And I believe it was Samus was telling him, hey, you know what, go back, stay sharp, and if we need you, we're going to give you a call. And I can remember several seasons where that happened. I don't know with other states if the amateur baseball scene is as good as it is in Minnesota. I know Wisconsin has a pretty decent amateur baseball scene where I think the Milkmen have nabbed a couple guys like that. But, you know, other states might not be as strong.
Well, I want to say, if nothing else, the Frontier League taught me this week that a person from Quebec, the province of Quebec, is a Quebecer. I didn't know that, Kevin, but now I can
tell. Oh, I did, because there used to be a pro wrestling tag team called the Quebecers.
Oh, there were? Okay, well.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Kevin is always up on me. I'll admit it. The Atlantic League began their season this last weekend, so just three games for each of the clubs at this particular point, and they don't even have the proper standings up. They're still showing last year's standings out on their website, and that's okay. So, there's, you know, three games in the season, nobody's too worried about that at this point. But that finishes us off here, Kevin, here for tonight. We're looking like, we again, 10 days away before the season gets underway. There'll be three games on opening night, then five on the second night as Gary and Winnipeg. Gary and Lincoln, I believe it is, do not play on the second night of the season. And then everybody's in action on the Saturday. So it's coming up quick and looking like we're going to have some pretty competitive baseball, especially out east. Looks like any one of those six teams has a good shot.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, Kevin,
it's going to be interesting to see who gets off to the big start this year.
Yeah, I think we saw last year Cleveland really got off to a very slow start and was able to battle back. I don't know if you can get away with that this year. You're 10 and 30. I don't think that's happening this year. Well, Kevin, lead us out here with tonight's exciting final thoughts.
Well, in my own personal life, I have become a very frustrated Minnesota Wild hockey fan as the team has now gone 20 seasons without winning without really making any kind of a decent playoff run. They've won one playoff series in like 20 years, but got me thinking, you know, as bad as you ever want to feel about stuff, there's someone worse off than you. And I got to say, trying to relate it to the American Association, that one of these years, it's got to be the year for the Sioux City Explorers. They've had so many good teams, and I feel for the fans that have stuck with the team through thick and thin, because they have been through a lot, and they've had good teams. They've had plenty of close calls, but they've yet to win that elusive championship, and it's been over 30 years now. So my message to them is just hang in there, and I guess I'm starting to know what your frustration's like.
Kevin, before we head out here tonight, Kansas City will play 3 games against the Savannah Bananas. Now, this league has become kind of a little spectacle, fun show that goes on when they come to town. Very bright yellow uniforms for Savannah. I don't know if we can watch those out on American Association TV, but if we are you going to be checking that out?
I think last year the games were live on YouTube.
Okay.
So that may be an option. I don't have any sort of intel with that, and I don't know. To me, I know it's a big draw, but I just kind of one of those you've seen it once, you've seen it all, and I don't know. Maybe they change the gimmicks up here and there, but I just, to me, I'm all about chasing the championship, and if the game means nothing, I don't really have a ton of interest in it.
I'm with you on that. Preseason games, I've just never really gotten too much into. So I'm with you on that.
It'll probably be the only 2 times this year that the ballpark in Kansas City will have full houses. That seemed to be the case last year.
Yeah, we saw some very tough crowds there last year, especially in weeknight games. Man, hopefully that isn't the case this year. We want to see good crowds for it. Everybody in the league this year. Next week, Kevin and I will be beginning our series talking with the 12 broadcasters around the league to discuss their thoughts on the upcoming season there. So we'll have a little 10-15-minute segment with each of those guys heading into the season, so you can hear their thoughts on the team and hear what you think about, hear what they think about their particular club you can learn about. Plus, you can check out opposing clubs and see what their broadcasters think about that. So that should be pretty exciting. Kevin and I, next Monday night, will not have a guest for ourselves on the show, but we'll talk specifically about our thoughts heading into the season and what we're seeing and what we believe at this point may be the shakedown of the playoffs. And we'll doom somebody out there, I'm sure, Kevin, who will be like, please don't pick us, but we'll pick them anyway. And I think that closes us out. Anything else I forgot about?
I think you got it covered like a rug.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. Well, Kevin and I want to thank Lake Country Dockhounds broadcaster Sam Reeves and Dom Stern for joining us here tonight. For Kevin Luco, I am Rob Panier. We will see you next time on This Week in the Association.